to see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of blue skies and a fireball sun over Waite Road in Easton, which features my canine pal Harley leading the way, comes to us from yours truly as I captured this hazy scene yesterday as blustery winds whipped all around us on the way back home from a short late afternoon walk. Despite the unseen opposition that seems to have distorted this photo, we made it back down that last stretch home. Well, it's Holy Saturday, the day that commemorates the harrowing of hell while Christ's body lay in the tomb. While in the physical, Jesus' body lay still and lifeless in the tomb. In the spirit, Jesus descended into hell and brought salvation to the souls held captive there since the beginning of the world. The Apostles' Creed tells us that Jesus descended into hell, and 1 Peter 4:6 alludes to this ministry of Christ, as Peter tells us, "For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." While it may seem that those dead before Jesus' earthly ministry may have gotten a second chance, I'm sharing insights I gleaned from a gotquestions.org article that helps us to understand how salvation worked before Jesus and how the Bible indicates that the requirement for salvation has always been faith, and the object of one's faith has always been God. What has changed through the ages is the content of a believer's faith. God's requirement of what must be believed is based on the amount of revelation he has given mankind up to that time. This is called progressive revelation. The best first case for this is the first man, Adam. Adam obviously had firsthand knowledge of God as he walked and talked with him in the garden, but after he sinned, Adam believed in the promise of Jesus to be saved. Say what? That's right. Adam believed the promise God gave in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman would conquer Satan. Adam believed him, demonstrated by the name he gave Eve, the mother of all living, in Christ, her seed, and all who would have faith in God and in the coming of Messiah. And the Lord indicated his acceptance immediately by covering them with coats of skin, from verse 21. At that point, that is all Adam knew, but he believed it. Likewise, Genesis 15:6 tells us that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So we are all saved by faith in God. The only difference between way back then was in how one came to know and have faith in the one true God. So Jesus went to hell to bring the progressive revelation of him specifically as the promised Messiah and deliverer, and he set the faithful captives free from the Abraham's bosom section of hell, which was the temporary holding place for those who had faith in God until Christ came back to bring them to heaven, where the Old and New Testament saints are waiting with Christ until his triumphant return to reclaim the earth. So while it's possible that some of the dead may have been given the grace of a second chance, it's more likely that Jesus merely gave the good news of his coming to the ones who already believed in God. Because if we don't want anything to do with God while we live, it's unlikely that we will change our minds after we die. Jesus' account of the rich man and Lazarus indicates how the hard hearts of man who don't believe beyond our are beyond convincing, and repentance, as Jesus's account relayed how Abraham said to the rich man who was pleading for his unsaved brothers to be warned in Luke 16:31 that if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. And we know Abraham was, and we know who Abraham was talking about there, right? Jesus, the one who would rise from the dead. And unfortunately, even today, we see the truth of Jesus' account as many refuse to believe in him in spite of all the evidence of his life, or despite all the evidence of his life, death, and resurrection. But we know, don't we? Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and God the Son. We have made it to the last day of Lent, and Christians everywhere will tomorrow on Resurrection Sunday or Easter will proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. But before we get there, let's walk out this last day of Lent by remembering how, while all seemed to be lost, Jesus was alive and well in the spirit realm, rescuing those who had put their faith in God, even though they didn't have the revelation of him that we do. It's the last and 40th day of Lent, and so we will conclude my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional, it was our hope that we got to know Martin Luther a little better as we sought to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday. We are there tomorrow, but as for today, we continue and conclude with Journey Day number 40. And Martin Luther writes, "It was not unintended to God's particular ordering of things that a lowly Christian person who might be unable to read the Bible should nevertheless be obligated to learn and know the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Indeed, the total content of Scripture and preaching and everything a Christian needs to know is quite fully and adequately comprehended in these three items. Three things a person must know in order to be saved. First, he must know what to do and what to leave undone. Second, when he realized that he cannot measure up to what he should do or leave undone, he needs to know where to go to find the strength he requires. Third, he must know how to seek and obtain the strength." That was from Martin Luther. And the biblical wisdom that's paired with that is from Luke 10, verse 21. And the Word of God says, "At that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." At this point, our devotion prompts us to sit in silence for meditation so we can ponder what Martin Luther had to say or what Jesus said in Luke 10:21. When we're quite pleased with our meditation, we can move along to the questions to ponder, the first of which asks, "Why do you suppose that the things necessary for salvation are so simple and easily understood? Where does a person go to learn these simple things?" The things necessary for salvation are so simple and easily understood because God loves us. He wants us to know him, and it is not really a matter of one's of the mind or one's intellectual capacity that we are saved. It's a matter of the heart, not resisting the knowledge of the one greater than us, our Heavenly Father who is calling us home. We learn these simple things in his word and in houses of worship that share and teach its truth. The next question is, "Jesus is thankful these things are revealed to the babes, not the wise and prudent. Why do you think that is?" I think that Jesus is glad that the Father reveals this to babes and not the wise, because the gospel of grace is not about performance or having special knowledge to be approved by God. It's about having faith in God, and there are no special abilities or works required to receive God's gift of grace. And the third question is, "At the same time, these things are so deep, even the brilliant Luther said he did not understand them. Why? Why didn't he understand them? Because God is infinite and mysterious. His ways are higher than our ways, and he invites us to seek him and to know the depths of his wisdom and love." That brings us along to the psalm fragment, which is Psalm 135, 1 through 3, which says, "Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, you that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for he is gracious." That brings us to our last journal reflections. The first one says, write down three things Luther says you have to know and reflect on how much more deeply you understand them now after these 40 days. To recap, Luther said we must know, 1, what to do and what to leave undone. 2, second, when we realize that we cannot measure up to what we should do or leave undone, we need to know where to go to find the strength we require. And third, we must know how to seek and obtain the strength. So, how do we know these things better after the 40 days? Well, through the teachings of the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. We know to go to God. What to do and leave undone, that's the Ten Commandments, at the very least. And, our Jesus' great commandment to love God and love people. Second, when we realize we can't measure up, we need to know where to go. Well, the Apostles' Creed tells us to put our faith in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. That's where we need to go, to find that strength we require. And how to seek it is through the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done, Lord. Through the catechism, we come to know that better. All of these things point to God and receiving from Him. The smaller catechism that has unpacked the truths contained in the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer over these 40 days with Martin Luther has helped us to understand how our knowing what to do and how to receive God's strength to do it or leave it undone and where it comes from. Luther's teachings on these things help us to have a close relationship with the Lord. Let's see, the next prompting is, Luther saw knowing the commandments, creed, and Lord's Prayer as an obligation for all Christians. Do you agree with him? Why or why not? Well, the term obligation is a little loaded. When we look at any aspect of our faith as an obligation, we can wander into legalism. But after reading Luther's teachings over this 40-day journey, I understand that Luther's heart was only to impress upon us the sense of closeness that we should have to the Lord and to honor him by knowing at least these few things in order to know him accurately and intimately and to be able to share the knowledge of him with others intelligently. Let's see, and the last journal prompting is, have you made the catechism part of your daily devotions? If you have, what difference has it made in your daily life? I have not. We all determine the way we follow the Lord individually. And while we could be blessed by reading the catechism as a daily devotional, there is the Word of God itself, the Bible, and many other teachings based on its wisdom that one can be blessed by too. Reading through the catechism as presented in this 40-day journey with Martin Luther has blessed us, though. So we wouldn't discourage anyone from reading the catechism as a daily devotional. And that brings us to our prayers for the life of faith, which prompts us to thank God for the time you have spent learning from Martin Luther about the life of the Christian, what you should know, and how you should pray. All right, let's pray it. Thank you, Lord, for the time we have spent over these 40 days of Lent learning from our brother Martin Luther about the Christian life and what we should know and how we should pray. We have been blessed by it. Thank you. Amen. And the final prayer for today is, Dear Heavenly Father, I am overflowing with thanksgiving to you for revealing to me so much of yourself and your Son through the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your faithful servant, Martin Luther, and what he has taught me now. Amen. That brings us along to today's Bible verse, which comes from this quick scripture reference for counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning meditation verses come from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verses are Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. And the Word of God says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. For fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Today's verses are the first, the first of two passages of Scripture that fall under the 24th point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that 24th point is the primary goal in life must be to fear God and keep His commandments. Today's verses summarize the wisdom of all the book of Ecclesiastes ponderings, that we are to fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it is only the beginning. Wisdom is the application of knowledge to how we live. Really knowing God necessitates that we obey His commandments. To truly understand Him is to embrace His instruction and to perform it. So let go of selfish or foolish ideas that would convince you that you know better than God, or that you can somehow dismiss what He tells us to do, and recognize His supreme wisdom and surrender to His commands on your life to be righteous, faithful, and to live. As always, we invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with our walk. Today we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in Alford's devotionals, he prompts us to read a chapter of the New Testament. Today's chapter is John 5. And from John 5, he shares a portion of John 5:41, which says, "I do not receive honor from men." And Alford writes, "The Lord Jesus spoke these words to men who were bent on slaying Him. They were the Pharisees and scribes who honored one another rather than God. Even when they did appear to honor God, it was only mere lip service. Their hearts were far from Him. These men were hypocrites and lived criticizing others. If Christ therefore received honor from such, surely it would appear that He were condoning their hypocrisy and evil. On the other hand, the statement of the Lord Jesus in the above verse condemned rather than condoned the evil works of these Pharisees. If my blessed Lord did not receive honor from men, how will I ever expect to receive honor from those who live to criticize?" And Alford concludes with the prayer, "Give me, O Lord, the spirit of grace." Amen. Amen. Yeah, we shouldn't take honor from dishonorable men. So there you go. So it's not about people pleasing, I guess. You don't want to necessarily have people speak well of you if they don't walk with the Lord. It's not really a compliment. Although I guess Jesus didn't accept honor from men, so we shouldn't either. We should instead point to our Heavenly Father and give Him all the honor and glory that anyone would try to give to us. Recognizing that everything we have comes from God, and the life that we have in Christ definitely comes from God, and we've been blessed, and so we should be humble. I'm extremely happy to end the 40-day journey with Martin Luther, doing three resources a day and trying to put a personal spin of my life in there. Has it been a daunting task at times. It's a lot of text, and the messages have been on about a 25-minute mark, or at least 20-minute mark, and that's a lot for each morning to do. It takes a while to write it, and it takes only 20 minutes to put it out, but it's always a blessing whenever we come to learn from the saints that have gone before us, that learned from the Word of God and the traditions of the Church, to know the Lord more. And we thank Martin Luther for his Smaller Catechism. I'm not a Protestant, so I didn't really, I started the 40-day journey without realizing, wow, it's the Smaller Catechism, basically, is being unpacked here. So that was humbling, and it was good teaching, so we look forward to it. We will continue sharing a Bible verse a day from the counseling guide that my wife gave me from John G. Cruis, and continue sharing from According to Your Word, a devotional I have from Stephen F. Alford, but we're thankful for Martin Luther, and we're going to let him rest, and we'll see him again on Halloween when we remember when he put the 95 theses on the door in Wittenberg. And maybe we'll glean more of his wisdom from some of his books or commentaries between now and then. But for today, we thank Martin Luther, and we thank God, we thank Jesus for the truths that they've revealed to him. And we can't wait for tomorrow's celebration of Easter, where we'll truly rest and rejoice that Christ is risen indeed. Before coming to faith in Christ, and even after then, there's been some difficulty in my celebrating Easter because of all this, the pagan symbolism and everything that's thrown in, the eggs and the bunnies and all that nonsense. But that's time to practice your patience and peace, I guess. And just to remember, this isn't about all that junk. This is about Jesus and the life he's given us. And those are symbolic representations of that life. So to forgive people for the things they don't know and the silliness that that our faith is reduced to sometimes. Just draw close to God and rejoice. And I think that's what we'll do today on Holy Saturday. God entered into hell to save those that were there. God doesn't leave us. He comes to save us. And he sends Jesus to do it, no matter when or where we live. He sent Jesus to save us all. And that's all, as in A-L-L, all of us. Before his coming and after his coming. And we thank God for Jesus. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, thank you for this journey through Lent and this walk with Martin Luther and this walk of life that's given to us by Jesus. Lord, we pray for anyone listening or reading today's message that they'd be blessed and that they would rejoice, that they know who you are through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you come alongside them in their walk of faith and their prayer request. Lord, we pray for you to go before us today. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see and lead us in the way we should go. Because all we want to do is represent you and your kingdom, Lord, and do your will when you call us to it. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.